I'm Karen Tiller. I'm the Interim General Director for Hawaii Opera Theater.
Can you give us a quick look at, there was a change in the opera schedule, and could you give us just a quick kind of profile of how where the opera theater is at right now?
Sure. I think that the truth of it is, when we really started looking at the numbers when I came on, it was very clear that although we had increased our production costs and actually costs all the way across the board, we really hadn't had a counterbalance in dollars raised and also in tickets sold. So we had a real deficit on our hands. And
how much?
It was $1.5 million in last season, which is a staggering number. So when we started working the problem, we decided that the only meaningful way to get sort of back to a zero balance budget was to cut one of the operas in this season, which we did. We cut The Marriage of Figaro. One of the hardest things I've ever done. You know, I was on the staff at the opera for many years prior to leaving to raise my family, and the idea of cutting an opera was really difficult, so it was not taken lightly. But it was really the only place where we could find a 6 or 7 figure cut to get back to a place where we would not be suffering future deficits of the magnitude that we did last year. And so that was the decision that was made. We reached out to our subscribership, to all of our donors, and said, this is what we have to do. We are happy to refund your money. We're happy for you to give it back to us as a donation. We're happy to have you give it part of it back. And, you know, I will say that the response was really overwhelmingly positive to us. I mean, there are definitely people who are disappointed, but they know that we're trying to do the right thing, trying to ensure opera for future generations. And if we had kept going in the way that we were, that was going to be at risk.
What are you saying about the exit of your former executive director?
Simon left.
That's Simon Crowell?
Yeah, he left in April. He went back to the UK. It was a bit of a sudden departure. The good news for HOT was that I was still on the island and able to help, and that's what I'm doing. I'm sitting there as an interim. I'm not planning to go back to opera full time. I just am trying to help them sort of get through this leadership transition, and come to a place where we can vision the future of Hawaii Opera Theater. The other thing that needs to be said in this conversation is that sometime within the next 2 years, the Blaisdell does plan to shutter in order to do their renovations. Because the Blaisdell has been our home for our Grand Opera productions, that is a serious question for us, what we're going to do in the interim, what are we going to do while we're closed? While they are closed. And so I am trying to help vision a future for HOT and also then talk about what is the right person, what is the right kind of person for that leadership role. And we're still working on it. We're in the midst of Romeo and Juliet. It goes up at the end of next week. So probably not the best time to think about all of these things, but as soon as Romeo and Juliet goes down and we have a little bit of breathing room, which was the other thing we promised when we canceled The Marriage of Figaro, actually postponed. We're going to do it in the following season. But when we did that, we promised our subscribership and our donor base that we would take that time, the time of that production, and really dig deep into a vision for the future for HOT. And where that is going to be, what that's going to look like, what kind of productions we're going to be doing, all those things are a question because we won't be at Blaisdell and we won't be doing our typical large-scale opera performance for a couple of years at a minimum. So what does that look like? And who is the right person to lead that charge? That's what we're really going to be spending time on in the next couple of months.
And then maybe the search for the position starting next year.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we spend the rest of this calendar year working on that, and then we really know what we're asking people when we're talking about being the leader for the future for Hawaii Opera Theater. And it's for me, I came back, Jim McCoy asked me to come back sort of
president of the Opera Board.
Yes, sorry. Pretty quickly, he said, you know, can you come back? And, oh, can that be next week? I mean, it was mm-hmm. a really sudden transition. And I didn't hesitate. I said, absolutely, of course. I was on island. I do have two small children, but my husband, my family, we've agreed to make it work for a bit of time so that this institution finds its way back to fiscal health and also continues to perform at, I would say, the highest standard. I mean, we not just on the main stage, but our educational programs are all over the state. We're reaching 25,000 plus children a year. It's such a critical piece of the classical music part of our community. And for me, there was never a question as to whether or not I would help.
Well, you're here right now. Jim McCoy is here right now. And both of you are here just briefly.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Critical moment here.
But exciting. Mm-hmm. I think it's exciting.
It is exciting. Completely exciting. How does someone in opera begin to look at even the survival of this and the future of this art form? And you know, because smaller venues might really be a great way to go.
Well, you know, I think that's a reasonable question. No, I really, for not just for HOT, but across the opera spectrum, we're all talking about it. I mean, in the field at large, this is the conversation. Is the era of the three-hour big old opera in a big old hall coming to an end? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not completely coming to an end, but we do have to do other things, things that are maybe smaller venues, shorter duration, maybe more experiential connection as it relates to the music itself. And all of those are the things that we're going to talk about. So when I say that, yeah, it's a big transition, but it's exciting. I think that it's in some ways made us really sort of look right in the face of the things that challenge us and figure out how to turn that into a positive. And I will say that for my time being back at HOT, there has never been a more committed board. I've never, ever in all of my career found a more committed board than the one that is here in Honolulu. Nor have I found a group of people, this staff. They have rolled up their sleeves. They are making it work. This is hard. We are tightening belts in ways that really hurt, but we are making it work because we know there's a larger issue here. This is about a cultural institution that must not only survive, but thrive. And that is why everyone is working as hard as they are. And I will say that the prevailing sort of feeling is that we can do this, and it's positive. I mean, you know, I'm a lemons to lemonade kind of girl, and I have said that many times. The staff, if they're listening to this, they're all rolling their eyes. They're like, how many times does she say that in a day? But it's true. I believe it. I believe that there is opportunity in constraint. There is opportunity in the challenges. It makes us rethink how we do what we do, which quite honestly, we're all talking about across this field anyway. So for me, it's exciting. I'm ready to get back to my family pretty soon, but it's been really such a great honor, privilege, and also for the adrenaline junkies in the world, it's been really exciting to try to make it work.
Well, what excites you about the production of Romeo and Juliet coming up here?
Well, I love that it's been updated. You know, I think I was talking to our marketing director the other day. I think that Romeo and Juliet lends itself to updating in a way that no other, either the Shakespeare or the Gounod, I think it really lends itself to updating because there is so much in it that speaks to a modern audience. I mean, sometimes you see operas or even musicals, and they are very of a particular moment, and they can't kind of get past that. So you have to suspend your disbelief and be done with it and say, okay, I'm going to be in the 1850s, and that's where I am right now.
Yeah, and she's going to chase him around the bed. He's going to chase her around the bed.
Exactly, all that. But for Romeo, I mean, I think it's why it gets updated all the time, because it really, it's not just star-crossed lovers. To me, it is also about the fact that from three generations before they even met, their fate was sealed because of some injustice that had taken place between these two families. And we don't even know what it is anymore. And that's, we see that throughout the world. That particular idea, sadly, happens all over the world every day, that some injustice took place long ago. Nobody even remembers why they're on opposite sides, but they are. And that always leads to tragic consequence. And for me, that is actually the thing that I look to when I see Romeo and Juliet now. I mean, when I read it in ninth grade, yeah, it was about the lovers and that sort of love lost. But now I think of it in a much broader context. I think there is something for everyone. And I also think that updating it and making it even more relevant in this moment makes sense. I'm really excited about it.
Who today asks themselves about destiny, right?
Right. Well, but you know, I think I do.
Yeah, it plays a role.
Absolutely. I mean, and going back to earlier in this conversation, I that is what we're talking about, the destiny of a company. It's exciting.